Good Sunday afternoon, everybody. My name is Luke Thomas, staff writer with the Volunteer Roadshow, and we get some good content out there. Glad to have you with us on this Sunday afternoon. Unfortunately, my usual co-host with this show, Brandon Martin and Josh Griffin, were not able to make it today. Brandon is probably a little bit sick following the debacle that happened last night with the officiating, but that's okay because I have two of my good friends here with me to fill in. CJ Eldridge, who we had on the show last week, he is now a staff writer for Volunteer Roadshow and VR2. We're glad to have him with us. CJ, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
We're glad to have you on again. And we also have David May, a new addition to the Volunteer Roadshow team. He is a staff writer with A to Z Sports Nashville. He's also the founder of VFL 365. He is now a recruiting analyst for Volunteer Roadshow and VR2. David, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, Luke. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here talking with you guys about Tennessee athletics, one of my favorite things to do.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
All right. So here, let's go ahead and jump right into the news. Obviously, Tennessee and Alabama went at it on the gridiron yesterday. It was a very interesting game in the instance that Tennessee hung around there for a little while, guys. Tennessee did not lay down. You know, they came out, they made a mistake, they got that interception. Juwan Jennings dropped the ball, and Alabama somehow intercepted it. Brian Maurer got a concussion again, and Jarrett Garantano was thrown into the game. And it didn't matter. Tennessee hung around there for four quarters. Until there at the end when Alabama pulled away a little. Now, let me ask for your immediate thoughts. CJ, we'll start with you. What was your thoughts in the moment? As soon as the game was over, what were you thinking?
Well, I thought they played hard. That was really – it was very similar to the Georgia game a couple weeks ago where they did everything they could, but really in the end they just – pulled away. But there was a few other factors that we'll talk about later with the officiating and other things that could have made the game a whole lot closer than it was for Georgia. But all in all, it was a pretty good game, and it made me feel good about the rest of the season.
Excellent analysis, as always, CJ. What about you, David? What were your immediate thoughts when the game ended?
I was proud of the guys. They went out there, and they really they showed what they're capable of. And you look back, starting the season, of course, we lost to Georgia State. We lost to BYU. Two games that we should have won. BYU is a little more understandable than Georgia State. And then you go into SEC play. You lay down against Florida, show no effort. And you come back against Georgia, you show effort, and you really push yourself, and you keep it respectable. So, looking at this game, there was a lot that did not go in Tennessee's way. We can all agree on that, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So the guys went out there and they did what the coaches have taught them to do, and that's compete and to not give up and to play until the last snap of the game. And they did that. So you look back and you can't be upset. I know you can be upset with the officiating. You can be upset with Jarrett Garantano and the things that we'll talk about later, but you just can't be upset with how they played last night. So it was a good game for me.
Absolutely. Excellent analysis as always, guys. Now that we've got that out of the way and we have the immediate thoughts and reaction to this game out of the way, we're going to dive in depth a little more. And I think it's time, guys, we need to just go ahead and address this big elephant in the room, the big crimson elephant in the room, which is Jarrett Garantano's fumble and his future at Tennessee. Everyone knows it. At the end, Tennessee had a prime opportunity to get back into the football game. It would have cut it to a one-possession game. Tennessee would have a prime opportunity to stop Alabama, then get the ball back, and possibly score again to tie. But Jarrett Garantano went up. He audibled the play. He called the quarterback sneak instead of the play that was called, which I believe was going to be a handoff to Quavarrus Crouch. And it did not work at all. Jarrett Garantano fumbled through the end zone. It was picked up and ran back for a 100-yard scoop and score. A disaster for Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt was pretty upset about that, to say the least. I think all of us in the moment in our group chat, we were all not very happy with Garantano. But let's go ahead and talk about this. What is the future of Jarrett Garantano after that debacle? CJ, we'll go to you first.
Well, I think he's gone. There's no really no other way to put it. I mean, I don't know where he'd go. I know a lot of people think Rutgers possibly, depending on where Butch Jones gets hired. And plus, you know, he's from New Jersey. But I just do not see him taking another snap at Tennessee, especially after that. I mean, right after they put JT Stroud in the game and Pruitt, the staff has shown over the past few games that they don't really have a whole lot of trust in Stroud because the only play time he's really got all year is Chattanooga. And even then, he didn't do very well in that game. So they must have had to have been really, really displeased with Garantano's play because to put in JT in that moment.
I mean, yeah. I mean, in the moment, it was very interesting because, you know, in the heat of the moment, Garantano fumbled through the end zone and basically ruined Tennessee's chances of winning the game. So Pruitt had to be irate with him. And then just Maurer's out with a concussion. You put JT Stroud in. I thought that was a very interesting move. I think that shows just how upset Pruitt was and how bad Garantano, quite frankly, messed it up. He messed up that play. I think we're going to see a lot more of JT Stroud than we will Jarrett Garantano with the rest of the game. Am I alone in that thought, or are we all in agreement?
No, we're definitely in agreement. Jarrett Garantano's done. He shouldn't see another snap here. Like CJ said, nobody can trust him. He goes out there, he makes a stupid decision like that. You know, I know Coach Pruitt said in his press conference that was on the coaches, but he's just standing up for Jarrett there. You don't pull a offensive lineman like that if you're gonna QB sneak. And if they were gonna QB sneak, you definitely don't go over the top there. You try to push it right in the middle, like Pruitt said in his press conference. So Jarrett did just about everything he could right there. I know it probably wasn't intentional, but he did everything he could there to screw that up for Tennessee and put them in position to, you know, be in a one score game with Alabama going in the fourth quarter. So,
yeah, it was a very interesting turn of events for sure, to say the least, Bob Kessling. But anyway, let's talk about the officiating, guys. How about that officiating last night? CJ, we'll go to you first.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, it was awful. Just everything. And there were some bad calls on Alabama's side, but they were just – it seemed like they were intentionally just trying to keep Tennessee out of this game. I mean, it was awful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, really, it was just all night consistently bad. Going into the game, I think we were all in agreement that Alabama would be the team that got the whistle. But I don't think at all we thought it was going to be that lopsided and that blatantly obvious that they didn't even attempt to hide it. The phantom call on Daryl Taylor was what got me extremely upset. And, you know, Brandon was in our group chat. He has some key words for the officials that we cannot repeat because we have sponsors. But I think Brandon speaks for all of us about what he said with these officials. The Daryl Taylor one was probably the one I got most angry about, just because, and I'm on record saying this, and I might be alone here, I think if that is a three and out and they don't call that on Daryl Taylor, I think Tennessee wins the football game. I really do.
They definitely could have.
Go ahead.
They definitely could have, you know, gotten back in position. Would they have won the game? Maybe. But the call that really got to me was the missed pass interference on Juwan Jennings in the end zone there. I mean, he had him like completely around his body, pulling him down. And there was no call. And like you said, the call on Daryl Taylor, when a couple weeks ago, Alabama's pushing, I forget which team it was, but pushing somebody's face in the dirt and gets no call there. So it was just bad all around, man. And I mean, but we should expect it by now.
Absolutely. I mean, people are going to complain about the refs, and people are going to say that's the reason Tennessee lost the game, mainly Tennessee fans. But in the end, Billy Ratliff put it best in our immediate post-game reaction show when he said, when you're playing against Alabama, you have to play not only against Alabama, but also the refs. You can't count on the refs to make calls for you. You have to count against them making calls against you as a player. I think he put that really well. And just officiating-wise, it was obviously bad. I think we're all in agreement there that it was very bad, to say the least. But in the end, Tennessee lost the game. It probably should have been way closer than it was. The score does not reflect how competitive Tennessee played in this game. But in the end, there's nothing we can do about it now. We got to move on to South Carolina. But before we do move on to South Carolina here in a few minutes, Brian Maurer, he was the starter, as we expected him to be. He had a concussion last week against Mississippi State. Doesn't matter. He trots out there, and I believe on the second or third series, he hits his own offensive lineman's leg. I think it was Wanye Morris. It was Darnell Wright. And he's got another concussion, just like that, guys. That is why I didn't want to start Brian Maurer. I did not think Jared Garantano was better than Brian Maurer, or I didn't think JT Stroud was better than Brian Maurer either. But I knew we could not risk throwing him into the Wolves and risking injuring him because we really need him for the rest of the season, guys. I mean – We just could not afford to get him injured, and that's what happened, unfortunately. That's why I think you should not have started him. And now he's hurt with a concussion, and nobody knows what could happen. CJ, what are your thoughts?
I think it was the right decision to play him still because, like, he could have – that could have been anybody he could have got hurt against. I mean, South Carolina's probably has a better – as weird as it sounds, probably has a better defense than Alabama right now. The way they've been playing all year because – that could have really just happened against anybody, and it wasn't really – part of me wants to say it was on that Alabama linebacker because there was a light hit and that he should have got penalized. I don't think it was targeting like other people have said. But regardless, it could have happened against anybody with him just falling over the lineman. That's what caused it. Did they confirm 100% that he did have another concussion?
It is a concussion, yes. Jeremy Pruitt in his post-game press conference – I don't think he intended to let this slip, but he said, and this was supposed to be about the officials, he said, they hit our quarterback late and he got a concussion because of it. So, I mean, that pretty much clearly states that he has a concussion. So, I would say yes, it's confirmed pretty much. Like a 99.99% chance. Now, let me say this before we go back to David about Maurer's injury. Concussions are no joke. Concussions are no joke. It's very dangerous. I don't think it was fair to throw him into the Wolves like that against an Alabama defense that, while it is weaker than we have seen in past years, it's still Alabama. So I just don't think that was fair to him. He had a concussion last week. This was never really a big game for Tennessee. Everyone and their brother expected you to lose this game. So I really just don't understand why Tennessee put such big emphasis on starting Brian Maurer when – in reality, you probably were not going to win this game. Now, as the game went on, the narrative changed quite a bit. And this is a question I want to ask you all real quick before we can move on. If Brian Maurer did not get hurt and played the entire four quarters, does Tennessee win this game? A simple yes or a no. CJ?
Yes.
David?
I'd say no.
All right. I'm saying yes. I think Tennessee wins the game with Brian Maurer. So 2 of 3, majority say yes, they win.
Are we saying if Tua still goes out?
Yes.
Okay, if Tua still goes out, we probably do win this game.
So 3 out of 3. Let us know what you think about that on volunteerroadshow.com/comment section. You can go over there, give us your thoughts on that. Let us know what you think. How are we doing? Do you agree with us? Do you disagree with us? You can give us your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere you want. And we'll be sure to read them and respond to you. But next up, we're going to talk – go ahead.
I wanted to say one thing about Brian Maurer real quick. And we've got a problem in the quarterback room. We've got a quarterback that's shown a lot of promise in Brian Maurer but can't stay healthy. All four games that he's played this season, he's gone out with injury. Exactly. So and we've got a quarterback that looks terrified every time he's on the field, and that's JT Stroud. And then, of course, you got Jared Garantano, which everybody knows what his situation is. He is not going to see another snap here. He should. But he should.
And we'll talk about that later in the show, about the quarterback, who will be the starter versus South Carolina, which I think you were getting to. But go ahead, David.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was saying we've got a problem at quarterback right now, and I think it's worth talking about the future of the quarterback spot this
Absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely. But real quick, and I don't think, David, I got an answer from you, though. CJ, I think I did. Will Jerry Garantano be a quarterback at the University of Tennessee Knoxville next year, or will he be elsewhere? CJ?
No.
Okay, no, David?
No, he's gone. He's gone.
Call me crazy. I think he's going to be here next year. Is he going to be the starter? No. Is he going to transfer? Strangely enough, I just have a feeling I don't think he will. I wish he would, but I don't think he will. I don't know why.
If he stays, he's going to be fourth string. I mean, you're going to have Brian Maurer. You're going to have Harrison Bailey. You're going to have Kasim Hill. I don't see JT Shrout staying either. I think JT Shrout's going to be gone. It would be dumb for him to stay. If he has any hopes of fixing his play for the future to make a, I don't know, at this point, an XFL spot in the future, he's going to have to go somewhere else because he won't see the field here at all next year.
I agree with that. Now, I just have a feeling just against Georgia Tech, if you guys remember, he – and a little bit of this is me just playing devil's advocate so we could have another voice on the show, but – and against the Georgia Tech, everyone remembers it. When Dormady started, Garantano was over-isolating himself, didn't talk to anybody. When he was benched in favor of Brian Maurer, he did not do that. Part of that makes me believe that he – going into this, when he first was benched, I thought they thought he was a flight risk. I really did. I thought they thought that he would just jump out and go into the transfer portal. He did not. So maybe he'll stay around for another year. Maybe he won't. Only time will tell. But going into our next topic, let's talk about the Jeremy Pruitt face mask thing, which the national media, quite frankly, is blowing ridiculously out of proportion. CJ, what are your thoughts on that?
Media is stupid over that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't –
The national media is stupid.
Yeah. Go ahead, CJ. I didn't see anything wrong with what he did at all. I mean, I've seen coaches do a whole lot worse than that and not get any kind of blowback or any kind of just from anybody, any kind of negative feedback from any media outlet. Like, I'm pretty sure Jimbo Fisher, when Texas A&M, they had their game against Ole Miss yesterday, he pulled a player's face mask a whole lot worse than that.
And not a word was said.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Now, did Jeremy Pruitt, should he have pulled the face mask? Probably not. But come on, man. I mean, Jared Garantano was walking away from him, not even looking at him, not even embracing him. So Pruitt decided to pull his face mask over so he paid attention to him. I think that was pretty clearly Garantano was showing disrespect to Pruitt, and Pruitt didn't like that. And he was irate because Garantano basically crapped the bed, putting it in layman's terms.
That play cost them the game, and he was just not even paying one bit of attention to the head coach.
Exactly, which is not a characteristic of a leader, but we'll get into that later. David, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are you can't be this soft. I mean, I think we did we all play football in high school? If we all played football in high school, we should all know. I mean, hell, I used to have to do 8-count bodybuilders while in full pads and the coach slapping the back of my helmet every time I went down, man.
Really cool.
And I know what you're talking about with the Jimbo Fisher thing. You're talking about the game last year where he grabbed the player by the face mask and pulled him to him. And he did receive a lot of blowback for that.
David, he did receive blowback, but he is not receiving the blowback that Jeremy Pruitt is currently receiving.
I disagree. He did. I mean, they were talking about it on Monday Night Football. So, yeah. But anyway, you can't be that soft. I mean, this is football. I mean, football's a man's game. Nigel Warrior said that last night. And if you can't take it, don't play the game. You know, you got to get to these kids somehow. And you can't do it by just, you know, hugging them, saying, "Man, it's going to be okay." You know, I understand what you were doing there. And no, you can't do that. It's football. Jared Garantano screwed up big time, and he deserved every bit of that.
And I think we're all in agreement here that the national media is embarrassing themselves by trying to make this a story when, quite frankly, it isn't. And quite frankly, there's other things to be talking about, like how Jared Garantano blew the play, and how Jeremy Pruitt was upset in the first place. That's what I think we should be talking about. But instead, the national media has decided that they're going to try to muddy the waters with Pruitt.
Yeah, they're going to talk about every bad thing that happened for Tennessee last night instead of talking about the potential of Brian Maurer and how he takes command of the offense. They should be talking about how that offensive line performed last night after how they played all of last year. They should be talking about just this team does not quit. That's what they should be talking about. But they want to talk about him grabbing his face mask with one finger and gently pulling it. I mean, it's ridiculous.
When you turn on ESPN tomorrow afternoon to watch whatever you watch, whatever talk show you watch. I mean, we all watch talk shows, whether it's local or national. If you turn on ESPN and they're talking about Tennessee, it's not going to be that Tennessee hung with Alabama for four quarters and played an excellent game. And if it wasn't for the officials, probably should have won. It's going to be about Jeremy Pruitt, and they're going to blow it way out of proportion, touching Garantano's face mask, which is disgraceful and completely inconsiderate of how Tennessee played. It's unfair to the Tennessee players who played their butts off. And that's going to be the story instead of what Tennessee actually did. CJ, go ahead.
You know what I think this is all about? And it goes back to what happened 2 years ago with the whole, like, coaching search and everything like that, how the media just had a great time with everything that happened there. I think they just want another coaching search out of Tennessee is all this is. They want Pruitt gone.
That's interesting. That's interesting. That's an interesting theory. I haven't heard that. That's interesting. But anyway, it's time for everyone's favorite part of the show, the West Knoxville Florist Player of the Game. This week's nominees on offense, wide receiver, number 15, Juwan Jennings. Running back, number 9, Tim Jordan. And, of course, defensive lineman, Greg Emerson. We'll start with you, CJ. Who is the West Knoxville Florist Player of the Game?
For offense or for defense?
Just all around. We'll do that in a minute.
Okay. For all around, I'd probably say Tim Jordan because, I'll admit I was wrong about Jordan. I thought that he would be kind of just lost in the shuffle and maybe ended up in the transfer portal at the end of this year. That's not the case. He's probably turned into Tennessee's best running back by miles, and that showed last night because he was just – he carried the run game last night, and he kept us in the game. There was quite a few big runs that he had. That I know that one that he had on that – I can't remember if it was on second or third down, but they handed him the ball, and I thought they were going to blow the whistle dead for forward progress, but they didn't do it because he was just carrying everybody. He ended up getting the first down, just powered through it. I think he's been playing probably his best ball the past few weeks. And he's probably going to be Tennessee's number one running back for the rest of the year.
David?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You could make a case for Greg Emerson. You cannot make a case for Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings really hurt himself there by, dropping that pass. Letting that pass bounce off of him and turning into an interception. I love the kid. He's everything that, you know, that is Tennessee, but he doesn't deserve this week. I'm going to give it to Tim Jordan. Like CJ said, he should be our starting running back the rest of the season. He's stood out from everybody else. And, so I'll say Tim Jordan.
I'm going to make it unanimous. I am also picking Tim Jordan as the West Knoxville Florist Player of the Game. Congratulations to Tim Jordan. He is not only the overall player of the game, but he is also, since we voted unanimously, the offensive player of the game. Congratulations to Tim Jordan. I'm sure he will be great here. CJ, me and you had a conversation about this a year ago. We were both wrong about Tim Jordan. But anyway, the defensive player of the game. The nominees are Greg Emerson, Daniel Batuli, Nigel Warrior. I'll start it out. I think this one's pretty obvious. I'm going with Greg Emerson. Why Daniel Batuli is on there, I mean, he got ejected. I really don't know why Batuli is on there. But Greg Emerson is who I'm going to have to go with here. I think it's pretty obvious. He had a great game on the defensive line. Tennessee fans should be proud of him. But, CJ, who is your defensive West Knoxville Florist player of the game?
I mean, Emerson played good, but I'm actually going to go with Nigel Warrior on this one. He had a game-changing interception that went halfway across the field, and that really – that was really one of the big steps in why Tennessee was in the game. That was that set up the touchdown that Maurer had later on. And really, I think this is just kind of me just being nice because he has just played the best football that he has played in his entire career over the past like 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know what got into him, but he has just turned into a whole different player. I think he might end up playing his way into an NFL roster spot.
Yeah, Nigel Warrior. I agree with that. I'm going to take back my me saying that it was obvious because quite frankly, I just forgot about Nigel Warrior there for a second. But I am going to keep my pick with Greg Emerson. But I definitely could see Nigel Warrior. You know, he's related to Dale Carter, one of a great Tennessee defensive player in the 90s. But anyway, David, who is your defensive player of the game?
Well, you can't give it to Daniel Petulli. He was stupid and got ejected. And, I mean, that was the definition of targeting. Should it have been a penalty?
We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. You could make a case for Greg Emerson. He was, you know, on the quarterback all night. But I'm gonna agree with CJ here. I'm going to go with Nigel Warrior. That interception changed the game. It set Tennessee up for that tying touchdown. So, I got Nigel Warrior.
Congratulations to the defensive player of the game, Nigel Warrior. Okay, and our last one, West Knoxville Floors Special Teams Player of the Game. Here are our three nominees. Brett Samaglia, kicker. And Brett Samaglia, kicker. CJ, who are you going with?
Brett Samaglia, I guess.
And finally, David, who are you going with?
I'm going with my man, Brett Automaglia.
Okay, I'm also going with Brett Automatically. That's a really good nickname, David. That's good. Okay, congratulations to the West Knoxville Floors players of the game, Tim Jordan, Nigel Warrior, and Brent Samaglia. As always, West Knoxville Floors, the best florist in East Tennessee. If you're ever in the doghouse, need some flowers, go over there. They're a great place to do that with. I know Josh, our usual co-host, but he is sick, I think, so he was not able to do it today. That's what he always does when he makes a mistake. The Texas A&M fan, but go over there and get support our sponsors, West Knoxville Florist. Guys, this is the part of the show, and CJ, you were on with us last week. David, this is your first time on the show. We're going to be excited to have you on more. But this is this part of the show where we're giving our final thoughts on the Alabama game before we move on to the South Carolina pregame. So, in 30 seconds or less, CJ, what are you saying?
About the Alabama game?
Correct.
Well, I'm proud of the way they played. Of course, a few things went their way to where they couldn't – or they were just weren't in exactly in position to win late. But they gave themselves a chance late in the fourth quarter. It's something that we haven't seen from a Tennessee team when they're playing Alabama in the past. I don't know. Probably since 2015 when they had that close game with Dobbs and everyone. So, good game overall. I think this should give them a lot of confidence for the rest of the season.
All right. Here's what I say. Tennessee went into Tuscaloosa, a 35-point underdog, and compete and almost beat Alabama. And probably should have beaten Alabama. This team is going to improve over the years. Jeremy Pruitt's the guy. I think he proved that. I'm really excited about the direction of this program. Tennessee's going to keep on improving. Hopefully, we can get to a bowl. David?
I'll say this. I agree with what CJ said. I'm proud of these guys. They went out there. They showed what they can do. They showed you that they're a lot closer to where they want to be than what we thought after the Georgia State game, after the BYU game, after the Florida game. And it shows you it's a good look into the future of the program, in my opinion. You look at the guys that really showed out last night, and most of them are Pruitt's guys. Now, I know Tim Jordan isn't. I know Nigel Warrior's not. But a lot of the guys that showed out last night are Pruitt's guys, and they're young. They're true freshmen. They're sophomores. So I'm really proud of the effort that they put in, and the future looks bright with Coach Pruitt.
All right. Thank you. Okay, guys, it's time to talk about South Carolina. It is time for the Hound Dogs of Knoxville opponent preview. This is a lot of people's favorite part of the show. But before we begin, Hound Dogs of Knoxville, they are our number one sponsor. We're really glad to have them on board with this Volunteer Roadshow team. Jesse, the owner of Hound Dogs, I've got the opportunity to personally meet him. He's a great guy. let me tell you this. Hound Dogs is of all heaven. You go in there, they'll have anything and everything you need ball related. I need to go in there and just have a Tennessee day. With $100 or $200 in my pocket, go buy some ball stuff. I'm telling you, if it's Tennessee, they have it. It's a great store. Y'all need to go check that out. That's where I get all my Tennessee stuff. I don't know if y'all have had the opportunity. I know y'all have had the opportunity to go to Hound Dogs, but it's really great. I've been there many times. Go check them out. But anyway, it is time for our opponent preview. So let's go ahead and jump in. We'll start with the line. The line has not yet been released, so this is a volunteer roadshow estimate. This is our estimate on what we think the line will be. And we believe that the line will be roughly South Carolina favored by roughly 4.5. So, CJ, do you agree with our estimate there?
Well, I don't think South Carolina is going to win, but we'll get to that later. But I'd agree with the line. That's probably about where I'd say they put it, because South Carolina did beat Georgia. They did keep it close with Florida this past weekend. So, yeah, I agree with that.
All right. And, of course, David, what are your thoughts? Do you agree with that line?
Yeah, I agree with it.
Okay, yep. That is our Shelters Insurance Firm line of the game, way too early line of the game. Of course, by the time I get this edited and it's all up and ready, that line will probably already be officially released, but that is what we believe the line will be, 4.5 South Carolina. Now, whether South Carolina will win the game, like CJ said, we'll get to that in a minute, but I do believe that is the correct line. But let's go ahead and jump into this opponent preview, guys. And I told you earlier in the show we were going to get to this. I did not lie. Let's go ahead and jump right in. Starting quarterback, who is it going to be? To start with, I just want a name. And then we will go more in depth. We're going to spend a while on this. Who will it be? Will it be backup number two, Jarrett Garantano? Starting quarterback number 18, Brian Maurer? Or third string number 12, JT Shroud? CJ, what are your thoughts?
I think it's gonna be Maurer.
No. You think it's gonna be Maurer? Okay, yes. David.
I don't see how you let Maurer play this weekend after two concussions in two games. I'm gonna go with JT Shroud starting this weekend.
Okay. For me, I think it's pretty obvious. Well, I take that back. I don't think it's pretty obvious. But this was a tough one. I've been thinking about this one for a while. That's why I'm going last, because I wanted to think about it for a little while more. I'm going to be the odd man out. I'm going to pick Jarrett Garantano to start this game, and here's why. You're probably thinking I'm crazy right now, but here's why. Brian Maurer cannot start. Two concussions in a row. It's unfair to him to start him. It's unfair to him. Sometimes things matter more than football. His health matters more to me, and I know it does to Coach Pruitt and Coach Chaney, than it does the football game. It's very important to keep players safe, and that's what Tennessee is going to do. I don't think Brian Maurer starts. JT Shroud is a turnover machine. Against the South Carolina defense, if you feed him that ball, he is going to throw – oh, my goodness, a lot of interceptions. And you'll see that. He is nervous. He's very nervous. I feel bad for him a little bit because he's just so nervous out there. I can't blame him. I mean, we saw him a little bit against Chattanooga, I believe. And he just missed the throws. And it's not because he's a bad quarterback. It's because he was nervous. And you can't blame him. He was a freshman coming out there for his first time, and he missed a bunch of throws. JT Shroud could be Superman for all I know and for all we know. I hope JT Shroud starts, but I think you got to go with the experience of Jarrett Garantano, even though he messed up a big time in that Alabama game. I think we're going to take a similar approach to what we did against Mississippi State and try to establish a run game. That's going to be tough to do against a South Carolina defense. But I do think Jarrett Garantano will get the start. I started it off with the analysis there. CJ, let's get your analysis on why you think it is Brian Maurer.
Well, I know he's been hurt the past couple weeks. Eventually, I mean, it is kind of a weird situation. I don't think Maurer is going to be the type of guy that's going to want to sit out. Maybe he doesn't practice a whole lot this week. Maybe he doesn't even practice at all this week. But I think as the week goes on, they'll figure out, you know, maybe it's not as bad as it looks. And really, you got to play this is a critical game for the rest of the season. I think you have to play the guy that gives you the best chance to win. And even if that's Maurer, even if you have to rotate between quarterbacks to, I don't know, keep him healthy or whatever, Maurer probably needs to play in this game somehow, some way, unless it's just to the point to where it's you need to hold him out.
Let me say this. I agree with you, CJ, but I think it's to the point where you need to hold him out. You can't play a guy who's had two concussions in a row. That's just too dangerous. I mean, you have too many concussions, bad things will happen to you. So I just don't think it's worth taking the risk. But either way, no matter who starts a quarterback, am I alone in the assumption that we're going to see a lot more of Juwan Jennings and the Wildcat like we did against Alabama? Does anyone else think that's going to happen?
Yeah, we're definitely going to see that more, and it shouldn't just be the Wildcat. You can't let – I know my pick is JT Shrout, but you cannot let JT Shrout go in and try to win you the South Carolina game because it's not going to happen. What you do is you get Juwan ready and you pull a Mark Stoops of Kentucky and – you put Juwan in as your starting quarterback. That's my opinion. That's what I would do. I know it's not going to happen, but I think that's what they should do to give us the best chance, because you're right, Brian Maurer can't play. It's not safe. CTE is a real thing, and you know, it can ruin your life. So you can't let this kid play after he's, you know, been out all four games that he's played. He's been out with injury. Two of those have been concussions in the last 2 weeks. You cannot let him play. JT doesn't give you any chance to win this South Carolina game. Obviously, Garantano's not gonna see the field again, and he should not see the field again. So I think you get Jennings ready. That's my opinion.
Let's just take a minute to reflect on this. How big of a disaster has been at the quarterback this season? We all thought that Garantano was going to take a step forward and be a really, really good quarterback. We all thought Tennessee was going to be a pretty good quarterback this season when we started. We were all wrong. And it has been a complete disaster since the get-go. Since the get-go, man. It has been a complete and utter worst-case scenario with the quarterback position for Tennessee. It could not have gone worse. You've got Brian Maurer injured. Jarrett Garantano has completely crapped the bed. So, like, I mean, it's getting tough to start him. Like, I picked him to start, but I'm having to squint to see it. JT Shrout, like you said, is a turnover machine. It's going to be tough to start him. Juwan Jennings at the quarterback, he hasn't played quarterback since high school. I mean, you're running out of options here. And that is why it's so important for us to bring in Harrison Bailey as soon as possible, to hang on to Harrison Bailey, because that's pretty much all we have right now at the quarterback position. Because Maurer's hurt with injury, with a concussion. If it was not a concussion, I would want to play him, even considering the last two games. But you can't mess around with head injuries, man. You can't do it. But anyway, David, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that's the right take there. You can't play Maurer. You just can't. I don't know. You know, we could see by Wednesday that it wasn't really a concussion, that he just got a little shaken up, you know. But if it was a concussion, you can't play him. You can't let Garantano back out there. Like I said, I'm repeating myself, but, yeah, I agree with you.
CJ?
Wait, what? On the, like, well, obviously, like what he said, if you find out it's not a concussion, then it's pretty obvious that Maurer's going to play. But really, I just think you got to find some way to get creative on offense. Got to establish a run game somehow and find different ways to get the ball in the playmaker's hands. Like maybe, like you said, Jennings and the Wildcat. Maybe run Crouch more like we were planning to last week or this past game against Alabama. And, you know, JG went rogue and pretty much cost us the game there. But, I mean, I'm not sure what you do. The quarterback situation is kind of a mess right now.
A big mess, which is why it's so important, A, to get Harrison Bailey in here, and B, for this season to end as soon as possible so we can get Kasim Hill eligible. Next year, I think our quarterback situation is going to be very, very good, a lot better than it is this year. You'll have Harrison Bailey, Kasim Hill, and Brian Maurer. JT and Jarrett are probably going to transfer. Like we mentioned earlier in the show, Jarrett, maybe not, maybe JT, maybe not. Not going to speculate on that. We can't speculate on that, too early for that. But let's go ahead and jump into our next topic. which is Ryan Helinski. How does Tennessee stop Ryan Helinski? CJ.
Got to get pressure on him. Got to do what you did 2 weeks ago against Mississippi State. Put it on him and make him beat you throwing the football.
Absolutely agree there. Put pressure on a freshman quarterback, and he will make mistakes. That's pretty simple. The problem is Tennessee's defensive line, which is going to be a headache next week. But anyway, David, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you have to. You have to get pressure on Helinski. That's the only way that you're going to, rattle him. The defensive backs will do their job. I'm really confident that they'll do their job if the defensive line can get pressure. South Carolina's offensive line is not great. They're okay, but they're not great. So if Greg Emerson can have another game like he had yesterday, or any of those guys, Aubrey Solomon, any of them can get in there and get pressure, then it should set us up in a pretty good spot to win this game.
It's times like this where I really am upset with Brandon for having to not be able to get on here. But anyway, CJ, we all do with this. CJ, I know you're really big into recruiting. You're going to be our replacement for Brandon today. Tell us what you know about Ryan Helinski. You're a big recruiting guy. I'm sure you know a little bit about him.
As a prospect, he was he's actually pretty similar to Harrison Bailey in a way. They're both 6'4", 6'5", close to that 220 to 230 range. I think he played high school football in one of the top divisions in California, so it's not like he's coming from like a low division school in West Virginia or wherever. He's went up against top competition in high school, but the SEC is completely different. I mean, he's going to be a great quarterback for South Carolina the next 2 or 3 years.
Yep. And, of course, we have the story, the sad story with him, with his brother who committed suicide at Washington State. We have Volunteer Roadshow send our thoughts and our prayers out to him and his family because of that. That's a very unfortunate situation. But anyway, let's talk about Will Muschamp. Tennessee has never beaten Will Muschamp. Never happened. Quickly, don't tell me if Tennessee will win or not, because that's going to be our next and final topic. What would it mean to Tennessee if they were able to beat Will Muschamp for the first time? CJ.
I don't think it would mean as much as people would try to make it out to be, because I mean, Muschamp, it's a pretty embarrassing stat to begin with, because Muschamp's not that great of a coach. I mean, really, there's countless times that we should have beaten him, but due to, whatever happened with the coaching staff. And then last year, I think a whole lot of it was on Garantano last year, why we didn't beat them. But it's just really not – it's just one of those things where, like, that weight's just – it's lifts off your shoulders. Like, thank the Lord we can finally do what we're supposed to do for once. And
David, thoughts on Will Muschamp. David, thoughts on Will Muschamp.
I'll disagree with CJ. I think this is a pretty big deal, and I'll tell you why. We want to get to the top of the SEC East, and to do that, we're at the bottom right now. Everybody's beaten us in the last couple of years. We've got to start knocking off the teams that we should beat, and that's Vanderbilt, that's Missouri, that's Kentucky, and that's South Carolina. So you've got to be able to beat Will Muschamp. We're going to have to start beating South Carolina if we want to get back to the top. So yeah, if we break the curse this year, if you want to call it a curse, then I think that sets us up in a good spot for the future.
Absolutely agree there. Great analysis as always, guys. But anyway, let me give mine real quick, all right? Will Muschamp. I'm going to be a combination between you guys, all right? I agree with CJ that it's not that big of a deal with Will Muschamp, but I agree with David in the instance that this game is massive. Here's why. Tennessee beat South Carolina, you're going to a bowl game. I'm calling it. You lose to South Carolina, you're not going to a bowl game. This is pretty much an elimination game, in my opinion. We'll talk about who's going to win here in about 30 seconds. But it would be huge for the fan base, for everybody involved in this program, to get that Will Muschamp monkey off his back. I personally, I'd love to see us beat Will Muschamp. But anyway, It's time for everybody's favorite part of the show and the final part of the show. We're about to wrap up here in a minute. Close down shop here on volunteer on the 400th floor of the Volunteer Roadshow Studios here in beautiful Knoxville, Tennessee. The Tennessee Tap House, scalding hot take of the show. Let's get our picks in, guys. We'll start with CJ. Well, one, my first question for you, CJ, will Tennessee beat Carolina?
I think they will. And David, I don't really
– what, David, will South Carolina beat Tennessee or will Tennessee beat South Carolina? Yes or no?
I'm picking Tennessee in this game.
All right. Me, I'm picking Tennessee. We're all unanimous. Tennessee's going to win this game. Next, CJ, give me a score.
I'm going to say 12-7 Tennessee.
Ooh, that's a dirty game. David.
I'll say 21-17 Tennessee.
Okay. My score is going to be 17-10 Tennessee. It's going to have to be a low-scoring game in order for Tennessee to win this game just because they're not capable of putting up the numbers on offense that would be necessary to win a high-scoring game. I think we're all in agreement there, right?
I think I can agree with that. I think it depends on if the run game can carry the team on Saturday. So,
yeah. All right. So we've got our picks. We got all that taken care of. Now give me on the way out, and then we'll tell you all, the audience, where they can find you guys, keep up with you guys. But first, give me one scalding hot take for the rest of this season. CJ.
Tennessee blows out UAB, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt.
David.
I think Tennessee goes into Missouri and wins.
Here's mine. I think Tennessee makes a bowl game. And, you know, that might not be scolding enough, but let me ask you this before we go. Is everyone in agreement here? Does Tennessee make a bowl game? A quick yes or a quick no? I'm saying yes. CJ, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
David.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all in agreement. Tennessee is going to go at least 6-6. And I do think they'll mess up once, lose the game, finish 6-6, not 7-5. But anyway, that's going to be it for this Sunday, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Josh Griffin, senior writer at the Volunteer Roadshow, and Brandon Martin, recruiting analyst at VR2 and Volunteer Roadshow. They will be back next week. And I will be back next week with the next episode of Sunday on the Hill as the Volunteers take on South Carolina. We will be talking about that game, and we will also be previewing the Volunteers' next game next week. My name is Luke Thomas. I am a staff writer at VolunteerRoadshow.com. You can read my work there. Follow me on Twitter, at Luke A. Thomas, VRS. Also on Facebook, just type in Luke Thomas. It'll come right up. You can keep up with me over there. But, CJ, tell the people how they can find you.
You can follow me at CJ Eldridge, VRS, on Twitter. And then you can find my – yeah.
All right. David, how can they find you?
Yeah, go on Twitter. Find me at VR2 underscore David. And, yeah, give me a follow.
All righty. That's going to be it for this Sunday, guys. I thank you, CJ. I thank you, David, for coming on to fill in. Again, Josh and Brandon should be back next week as the Volunteers and the Gamecocks go at it. But that's going to be it for this episode of Sunday on the Hill. Have a great Sunday afternoon, guys. Have a great Monday, great week. Whenever this gets uploaded, have a great day. That's it.
Cool beans.